I was on Facebook this week, and there was something that was just a random video, and this was like, I mean, it was out for a couple years, but I've never seen it before. And here's the thing, like, I can get, I guess, a guilty pleasure. Sometimes I'll just go, and I'm looking at stupid videos, and I don't even know why I'm looking at them. Like, they make no sense at all, and I'm watching these things that are just taking up so much of my time. But there was this video, and it just, like, and most time I'm just like, whatever, like, stone cold face, just looking, whatever. And this video just made me laugh, and I almost got to the point where I was laughing uncontrollably. I'm like, this is so dumb, but it was just making me laugh. So I just, I want to share this video with you guys. If you've seen it before, great. If you haven't, well, here's this video.
Hey, I'm really excited to share with you something I got. Okay, I went to Kohl's today. I had to make a couple returns. Stuff didn't fit. Surprisingly, it was a little too big. Thank you. I know some of you may be thinking the opposite. Shame. No shame. It's all love. It's all love. Okay, so here's what I found when I was at Kohl's. And I'd like to say that I bought this for my son that would really, really want it. And let's be honest, he'll probably confiscate it from me. Confiscate? That's a word, right? Okay, so he'll probably take it from me. However, this is mine. Like, when it's said and done, at the end of the day, this is mine that I bought. And I'm going to keep it for my own. You can see it kind of has Star Wars. Oh, you're getting a little hint. Okay, so you want to see what I got? It's so great. I can't wait to show you. Okay. This is part of my birthday joy, still rejoicing in my birthday. And so here's what I got. I'm going to take it out of the box, and I can't wait to show you. Okay, I'm in a parking lot, and people are literally looking at me like crazy. I don't even care. Okay, so here it is. Hold on. It may be a little tight. It may be tight on me. I got to undo it just a little bit. Hold on. Stay patient, people. Stay patient. This is going to be worth it. I promise. Maybe not, but it's worth it to me, and I had to share with my friends on the internet webs. So here's what, I'm having trouble getting it. Okay, patient. All right, we're doing good. Okay, so this is what I got. Once again, this is for me, not for Duncan, not for Cadence. I mean, I'll let them play with it. I'm not a bad mom. I'm not a jerk, but in all honesty, at the end of the day, it doesn't go in their toy box. It goes in my room. So here we go. I gotta take off my glasses for it. naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen. Now I'm going to let Chewbacca talk here. Oh my gosh, I'm in tears. Wow. This is the best birthday present ever to myself. Wow. Oh my goodness. Y'all have an incredible day. It's a simple choice.
I thought she lost it. I'm like, what is going on? And then, like, I'm working on this stuff yesterday, and Bethany's like, are you watching that video again? I'm like, I am. I'm sorry. And, like, my cheeks are hurting, and I wasn't even the one in the mask, but she is literally just like, she lost it. But anyway, or maybe she really found it. I don't know. But the thing is that, like, it's the simple things in life. And she says, you know, and the thing is that, like, when you watch more and more about it, it's like she just posted it. And the reason that she did it was she was posting it because she wanted to let her family and friends know that, no, that was for her. It wasn't, it had nothing to do with her sons or, you know, her kids. She wasn't trying to get, it was her toy. And that's the reason why she posted it. And she said, you know, then she had like 1,000 views and she was super excited. She's like, yes. And then that night, she said, before she went to bed, she had like 1 million views. And she's like 1 million. Like, she put that as her status, she said. And then she said when she woke up in the morning, she had over 24 million views on that video. And it's funny, it's because she was just being herself. She wasn't doing it. She wasn't acting out. She was just being herself. And it just amazes me. And sometimes I think we just need a laugh. Sometimes we just need a laugh, and it's that joy that I really feel like that has been given to us. So as we go today, I don't even know really how to follow that up, because I could just watch that for a while. But anyway, there was a movie in 2006 that came out, and the movie was called The Pursuit of Happiness, and it was Will Smith that was in this movie. Now, if you ever watch this movie, like me, I'm like crying during the movie, and Beth, don't watch that part. You know you're going to cry. I'm like, I know I'm not watching that. But in that movie is there's this man who, and this is actually based on a true story, but Will Smith is playing the character of Christopher Gardner, who wanted to provide a better life for his family. He ended up being, because it said his wife left him, but then he was a single dad trying to sell this device called this bone density scanner. And which is very similar to an x-ray. And he's like carrying these things around throughout the entire movie, trying to sell them. But what he is doing is he is trying to pursue happiness. Well, today we're not going to necessarily try to pursue happiness, but we're going to be in the pursuit of joyfulness, because there's definitely a difference between happiness and joyfulness. Okay, so what does it mean? What does it mean to have joy? Okay, so there's a lot of things that are out there that say, use the word joy, okay? So let's look at some of those things that it says joy. About a joy to behold, okay? And usually I think that could also be used as a sarcastic, like, oh, you're just such a joy to behold. But also then someone could be bursting with joy, or someone wants to jump or leap for joy. There could be like a bundle of joy, and like I shared earlier, like my nephew being born, just a little bundle of joy, a joy of missing out. So sometimes of separating yourself from everything, because there could be joy in that of just separating yourself and quieting what's going on. And then we also, last but not least, have this, the pride and joy. Whenever I was a youth worker in Uniontown, there was a guy, there was an older gentleman, and he would always say, he like, oh, I got a picture. I want to show you something. It's my pride and joy. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I'm just, yeah, not the smartest. And then this was what he showed me. I'm like, seriously? Like, and then I'd watch him do it to like every kid that walked. Hey, I got a picture. I got to show you. This is like my pride and joy, something I'm really excited about. But to be joyful, what does that mean? I know that we had a lot of laughs, and just hearing the laughs, I think that made me laugh too. And then you watching her laugh, and then just, there's a lot of laughter. It's a lot more than just ha-ha, like funny. So if we're looking at the definition of what does it mean to be joyful, it could be full of joy as a person or one's heart, glad, delighted, showing or expressing joy as looks, actions, or speech, or causing or bringing joy as an event, a sight, or news, delightful. So if we're going to be on this, if you want to say a mission, to pursue joy, we got to know what we're seeking after. Okay, so what does it mean to pursue? Then it means, of course, to follow in order to overtake, capture, kill, or defeat. I don't want to be a killjoy. I really don't. Ha ha, yeah. But anyway, I'm not trying to do that, but we're trying to pursue it. We're trying to capture it. Also, it says to find or employ measures to obtain or accomplish, to proceed along or to engage in it. This morning we're going to look at how we can attain something so pure that it can change our perspective on life. All right, so where do people find this thing called joy? Well, the world can tell you one thing, and of course, then, well, let's look at that. So those are some things that we can look at that maybe could bring us joy, okay, in one's possessions or their property. So having a really big house or having a really nice car or multiple cars, having technology, maybe the newest phone, maybe the newest iPad, having clothing, like a certain type of clothing, having a lot of money. There's a lot of things that we can, that people can say that brings them joy. We can also look and enjoy just having people like your family, your friends, your acquaintances, in one's position or power. So working for a certain company, or you're maybe in a management position, or you own your own business, or and maybe in regards to your own family, like maybe you're the one that makes all the decisions. That can probably give some joy, some that gives a headache. Also, what is peered or viewed on television could possibly give joy, or like maybe a sports team, or maybe the drama on TV. How about video games? There's a lot of things that we look at that says, oh, that can give me joy. Also, things that we partake, food or physical pleasures to our body and our mind, those are things that I feel like is just common that we would say represents joy. But the thing is that all of these joys are only temporary and will only give what feels like joy to you only for a short amount of time. Because even if you have a house and you might be like, oh, it's very comfortable, it's very cozy, it's very nice, there may come a time where you're looking for, well, I need a bigger house, I want a better house. Or like, for example, like a television, maybe you're like, oh, I've got this flat screen TV, oh, well, I need to make it bigger, I need to make it bigger, I need to keep getting bigger until it feels like I'm actually wherever, whatever's going on that television, I feel like I need to be there. Okay, or hey, you know what, I need a job that pays me this amount of money, but I want increases and I want raises. I don't want to just continue working for the same amount of money. So there's things that we, sadly, these joys, they're only temporary. And one thing is too, is if you're lacking in one of these things, or if you are comparing yourselves to others in relationship to one of these, you will not have true joy at all. You will not have a peace of mind. Because you might say, if I only had a little bit more money, or if my house was just a little bit bigger, or if my TV screen was just a little bit bigger, or if only more people knew who I was. But what do the scriptures say about joy? Because I really believe that they say a lot more than that about joy. Or looking at our first verse here, it says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. So here the psalmist is actually talking about something that is not temporary. We're not talking about just temporary pleasures. We're talking about something that is a lot more. It says, you brought me from the grave. It doesn't say you made me feel good for a little bit, but you, O Lord, brought me joy. You breathed into me. You brought me to life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You, Lord, are my joy. Continuing in the Psalms, it says, sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And when I'm reading that scripture, it makes me think, well, you know what? Today's a new day. It's a day to rejoice. And if God gives me tomorrow, hey, guess what? It's a new day. It's a time to rejoice. And guess what? If God gives me another day after that, it's a time to rejoice. And praise God that I know that when I'm leaving this earth, I'm going to be rejoicing anyway. So that's just amazing. It's joy. This is something a lot more deeper than material possessions. Continuing on in John 15, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. This is Jesus talking. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow. Okay, there is so much more than this world can ever offer is what God wants to give us. Okay, so now this is definitely changing my mindset in even looking at this, because I've been talking to Bethany, because she's my wife, so I talk to her a lot. But the thing is that we've been talking about like this search for joy and seeking joy. And like sometimes you try to find things and you might be like, oh, that gives me happiness right now. But what does true joy really look like? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at just a person in the Bible just briefly. Well, I'd say briefly, but we're going to keep talking about this person on and off. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Ruth. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole book of Ruth, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pull out parts just to give you a little bit of a background if you're not really sure. The background is Elimelech, Elimelech and Naomi. They lived in Bethlehem during the time that the judges ruled Israel. They left their home and they moved to Moab because the Israelites were not being obedient to God. They wanted to provide a better environment for their sons, even though this was a land of their enemies. So we have two people, Naomi and Elimelech, who are taking their sons into the enemy's territory because that looks a lot better than their homeland. Okay, now it says, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Okay, I highly doubt that Naomi was in a place of joyfulness, whether mentally or physically, because she is not in her homeland. And also now that her husband has died in less than 10 years, and now her two sons have died as well. That's a lot of loss. You know, and I know that maybe we've experienced things like that, or maybe we've lost a job, or maybe we've lost some loved ones, or maybe we are walking a path and it seems like every door is closed. There's times that we feel defeated. There's times that we feel overwhelmed. But one good thing is it's not the end of the story. So Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, she had them, but then there was no grandchildren. So there was no one to pass the lineage on to. She heard word that the Lord had come to the aid of the Israelites. So we're like, okay, hey, this is a great place to be. So she was planning to pack up her belongings and her daughters-in-law and take them back to the land of her ancestors. So we're going to go back. We're going to look for that joy. We're going to find that. But then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. So Naomi is releasing her daughters-in-law and saying, thank you, I thank you for your commitment, but I am letting you go. Go back, you're still young, you can find a husband, and everything is okay. Orpah and Ruth were insistent that they were staying with Naomi. However, Naomi continued to push them away. Orpah eventually left and went back to her family. However, Ruth did not. So one daughter-in-law went back to her mother, and the other daughter-in-law stayed. And we continue in the scriptures. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. So a little bit of a background. Moab, they were not worshiping God. They were not worshiping the God of Israel. So when Naomi was sending them back, they were sending them back to everything. And that is without God as well. maybe Ruth did not expect Naomi to have another son and wait around for him to grow up for her to marry. But she did know that she was in the right place. So Ruth knew she was in the right place. I don't really think that she expected for Naomi to get married, have a son, and wait, well, the 9 months for that baby to come along and then grow up, and then she was going to marry him when he became a man. She wasn't doing that, but she knew that she was in the right place. And sometimes we know when we are in the right place. I feel like there's times where I need to be reminded, you know what, you are where you're supposed to be. And that's not even just professionally. I think that's just in life sometimes where we just need those people to come along and say, you are in the right place. I want to tell every single one of you here, you are in the right place. You are here because you are supposed to be here this morning. Sometimes it may not feel right. Sometimes it may feel like people are like, no, stay home. Don't come. You're not supposed to be there. No, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. Ruth did know. I'll say this. She knew that God of Israel was real and that he was worth waiting for. So she's not going to wait on a son to grow and be born and everything, but she knew that the God of Israel was worth waiting for. If we look at, just real quick, I'm jumping to Isaiah 40. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Ruth was exactly where she was supposed to be because she knew that the God of Israel was real. Those who hope, those who wait, those who put their full trust in God will have their strength renewed. Being in the right place at the right time, being here this morning, like I said, is being in the right place at the right time. And then Nehemiah continues that thought in chapter 8, verse 10, when he says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So where am I going to find my, what do I get when I get joy? When I have joy, I have strength. Okay? When we're laughing, when we were laughing watching that video, I don't think anyone was like, I'm hurting. Well, maybe you hurt yourself from laughing so hard, but that joy is going to give you strength. And when we find our true joy in the Lord, that is where we're going to find our strength. Ruth knew that Naomi's God was worth following. She's not the only one. David, he knew that the Lord was worth following. The prophet Elijah, he knew that the Lord was worth following. I was reading a part of a passage in 1 Kings, and it was just realizing of what God was doing through Israel at that time and also doing through Elijah. And he trusted in the Lord. Elijah trusted in him. It says for at least 3 years there was a drought. Well, because Elijah spoke it into being because God wanted him to. And King Ahab was a nasty man. But Elijah was continually being provided for by God. And it says, I just love this story. If you want to know, I mean, this is like action. I wish at times there was like a movie that I could see this because I'd probably watch this all the time of just what God was doing through Elijah. And at this time when Elijah found Obadiah and he says, nope, I want to see Ahab right now. I'm here to see him and I'm going to show him that God is who he says he is. And he was really calling out the 450 prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal, they thought they had what they were supposed to have. They thought they had true joy, but Elijah knew where that joy was, real joy was supposed to coming from. In 1 Kings, it talks about, it says, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. See, that's one thing, and I'm going to keep going with that in a second, but just realizing that God is not coming just to destroy the world, but God is coming, and he has sent his son to redeem us. Like, that excites me, is that it is not over just because of where we are and the mistakes that we've made, but God has sent his son so that we can be redeemed, so that we can have a personal relationship with him. It is not over. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. In the New Living Translation, it says, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. Sometimes we need to wait on God, and sometimes God acts. He acts immediately. My joy cannot be dependent on the circumstances, because there will be times in our lives where things seem grim. With being in a drought for 3 years, that seems pretty grim. But God still loves us and he sees us and he desires for our hearts to be turned back to him. He is there in our times of trouble and our times of need. Hey, also, you know, sometimes we talk about scripturally of like, oh, well, this person, yeah, they saw God or they believed God. But you know what? Pastor Ed, he knows that God is worth following. And I feel like that's why a lot of us are here. is because God has led him into this body, and he is using him, and that's why we come. Jeff, Toby, other people in this room know that he is worth following. If you are here, I pray that there is something burning inside of you because you know that he is worth following. That the Lord of Lords and the God of all gods is worth following. It's not by accident that we're here. So if we come back into Ruth, and Ruth saying, as Ruth is talking to Naomi, it says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. There's two things that I get from this. One is, know where your joy comes from. Know where your joy comes from. The things of this world will pass and it will end. As B was saying, you know, the things of this world, they're gonna die off. But we know where our true joy comes from. And number two, do not hinder someone else's path. Some people might be coming around you or because they know that there's something going on with you and I need to be a part of it. They may be like, "John, I just need to be with you." And you're like, "Get away from me." You know, you're getting on my nerves. But it's like, no, John, there's something about you that's different. And I want what you have. When we are living in the joy that God has created us, like that he is giving to us, I feel like it will attract people, even people that you may not want to be attracted, like you don't want them to be attracted to you. You're like, "No, stay away, stay away." But I really feel like that the joy that comes, it's contagious. That lady was full of joy. And I was talking to Bethany, she's like, "Yeah," and she's a believer as well. And you just hear a story like, it's contagious. Joy is contagious. And people want to, you know what, in this world that we live in today, we really need it. Because what you are possessing may be something that they are completely missing. And if we really think about that, we are in possession of something that other people really need. You know, as a dad, I'm just thinking, you know, as a dad, of course, my daughters are, you know, 7 and 2. I can't just leave them home. Well, because then I'll have the police called on me too. But like, we just can't leave them at home by themselves. Like, there are things that they need that we're able to provide. You know, yeah, they might be able to get some cereal and whatever, but after a while, that's going to go away. Or, you know, they might be able to figure out how to make some toast or, you know, maybe cook some eggs. But after a while, that food is going to go away and they need someone to take care of them, protect them, love them, and show them the way and be able to give to make sure that they're provided for. And I feel like God is using us to be able to do that with our brothers and sisters, not just children as well. All right. Sorry, I got off because that's where God was leading. Anyway, so let's keep going. It says, you know, so then I'm like thinking about this joy and I'm thinking about, well, there is so much more to it even than just what was recorded in Ruth. It says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." And that's coming from Psalm. And what I like about that is that's coming from, you know, King David. And King David ends up being the great-grandson of Ruth. Of just realizing that, you got to keep reading the story, but just realizing that God is, he knows that God is providing. God is giving me that joy. Something that I can't, it cannot be imitated other than the true thing, which is coming from God. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I love every single person in here. I might not even know everybody, but I do love you. But the thing is that there is so much more that God has for us. There's so much more, and I feel like he just wants us. He just wants us to take it all. He just wants us to take this joy. He wants us to be rejoice in him because of who he is. You may be saying, I don't know the path for my life. I don't even know what I'm doing this week. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. And that's me speaking personally. I don't even know what I'm doing this week, and I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. And I have a calendar that kind of somewhat directs me, or I really don't even know what I'm doing the rest of the day. But I have to remember, and we have to remember, that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he will give joy. And he will give us security in him. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. I gotta stop there for a second. There's an inheritance for us that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. Never perish, never spoil, never fade. Here's my cell phone here. I got this phone about a year ago, maybe a little bit more. And I can't tell you how many phones I've had. And I know you guys probably had a lot of phones. Like, I remember my first phone was like, it was a flip phone. And it was held together with duct tape and a rubber band. And because the rubber band held the flip part on, just when I wasn't using the duct tape, held the battery on. And, you know, this phone right here, and if you look close, it's like kind of got like a little bit of spider web, you know, shattering going on. I don't try to break my phones. I really don't. Like, I try to be careful. I don't know. The gravity is just really strong around me, I think, and it ends up hitting the floor. But to realize that, you know, well, in 2 years, I can go get another phone. Or you know what? Hey, I can go buy a phone right now if I can afford it. But, like, the thing is that this is not meant to last forever. It won't. It doesn't matter what brand you have, whether it's, you know, a Galaxy, whether it's an iPhone, whatever. We know that they're not meant to last forever. But there is an inheritance for us that will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. Keep going, and it says, kept in heaven for you. Whew, sorry, lost my page. But anyway, it says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If this is all we had, we are doomed. But to realize that there is so much more waiting for us, and I honestly feel like B was in my notes or something whenever she's saying like that, there is so much more, and we may feel like we're losing it, okay? We may feel like we're losing control. Listen, I was having this conversation with Bethany, and I had a meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I got so overwhelmed because I was meeting with other principals. I just felt like, there's no way I should be here. There's no way I should be in this company. Like, I can't even, I'm so overwhelmed. And then I've got a message to prepare for. And I'm not at school, but I have to go back later. And there's all this stuff that was just overwhelming me. And I know that Bethany was praying for me. Because by the time I got to my meeting, it was complete peace. It was complete joy. That the stuff that was worked on, I was already ready for, I was already prepared for, I had good conversations with my peers, and also the people that were leading the class, and it was just in a good place to be. I know. That's how I should fight my battles every day. I should just pray. I admit that I didn't, that I got so overwhelmed that I could barely leave the house. But realizing that there is so much more, and the fruition of it is that we get to realize that our souls have been saved. So what is joy? Joy is knowing that Christ has come to save you. Joy is knowing that we have a Father who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for our sins and his Holy Spirit to comfort and guide. That's my joy. The things of this world, they're going to pass away. Yep, and we're going to pray for each other because we're going to come alongside each other and we're going to pray our way through this life. But it's so joyful that even if we don't really do it, Toby, that maybe inside of us that we can be, let it move us. That joy is doing something inside of us. Can you stand with me to pray? God, right now I'm just even feeling overwhelmed with your joy, Lord. And that's definitely the place I'd rather be. I'd rather be immersed in you, Lord. I'd rather be overwhelmed by you. And thank you for the comfort. Thank you for the stillness. Thank you for the quietness. And thank you for that joy. God, and I pray that as we leave today, Lord, I pray that seeds were planted. Not by my words, Lord, but only by the only word, the only truth that this world really has to offer. God, I pray that your joy would come out of us, Lord, and I pray that we would see you. I pray that you would see, that we would see your people, that we would see what you've given us in a whole new light, Lord. God, may we never let go of that joy. But may we only, you know what, just share with people. Say, come here. I have, like Elijah did, come here. I need to show you something. I need to show you what God is doing because you're an amazing God. God, I'm just so amazed by you. Lord, may you have your way in this body. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you've inspired us even just to collect food to send to our brothers and sisters in Florida, Lord. And I pray that as that food even goes, that it would not be just food, Lord, but I pray that you would just, that people would feel your love and people that would feel your joy because of what you're doing. God, may you be glorified today and every single day this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.